I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew 27. Matthew 27. And we're going to read verses 57 through 60. Notice the words found in verse 57. When the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea by the name of Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and he laid it in his own new tomb. Which he had hewn out of the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. Especially note the words found in verse 57. Joseph of Arimathea, who also was a disciple of Jesus. Now most of us realize that there are two important men by the name of Joseph in the New Testament, who played a very important part in the life of Jesus. One was Joseph of Nazareth, who at the birth of Jesus gave him a home. And then we come to Joseph of Arimathea, who at his death gave him a tomb. Now, little is known of both of those. The Bible doesn't tell us really a great deal of background regarding Joseph, Jesus' father, who probably died at an early age, and Joseph of Arimathea. The New Testament gives us very little information about this Joseph of Arimathea. Some say that he was a member of the Sanhedrin. And in my studies, I believe that he was. Now, Matthew tells us before us that he was a rich man and a disciple of Christ. You find that in Matthew chapter 27, verse 51. Mark tells us that he was an honorable counselor, which means that he was a man of high character and personal integrity. If you're taking notes, you find that in Mark 15, verse 43. Luke tells us he was a good and just man who did not consent to the death of Jesus. Find that in Luke 23, verse 51. John tells us that he was a secret disciple of Jesus who would not reveal his loyalty to Jesus for fear of the Jews. Find that in John 19, verse 38. Now, let me just reconstruct the scene for just a moment tonight so we might get some background that will be helpful in our study. As we come to the text this evening, we find out that it was Friday. And the next day was the Sabbath. And Jesus was on the cross till about 3 o'clock. The Jews wanted to make sure that Jesus was taken down before the Jewish Sabbath started, which started at 6 o'clock on Friday evening. So they wanted to make sure that the body was taken down. Now, it was at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon when Joseph appeared on the scene. And because of his appearance on the scene and what he did, brief as it was, Joseph will never be forgotten. His record will stand as long as we remember Good Friday and celebrate Easter Sunday. Let me ask you tonight, wouldn't you like to be remembered long after you're gone for something that you have accomplished for Jesus Christ, like that of Joseph of Arimathea? Can you imagine just teaching a Sunday school class the blessings of that? Just to touch one child who might turn out to be another Billy Graham or a D.L. Moody. or a great missionary. Can you think of anything more electrifying and more beautiful and more productive? And that's exactly what Joseph of Arimathea did. We don't know too much about him. Up until this point, he was a secret disciple. But because of that short group of words that describe him, he's going to long be remembered. Now, I want us to look at Joseph of Arimathea tonight from three different aspects. Very simple. Consider, for one thing, that he had a courage that cannot be denied. That's my first point. He had a courage that cannot be denied. Now, notice what it says in verse 58. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Mark puts it this way. Joseph of Arimathea went in boldly to Pilate. This afternoon I looked up the Living Bible and it renders Mark's words this way. Joseph gathered his courage and went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Now, this was not always true of this man. He always didn't have that courage. Before Calvary, he was afraid to be known as a disciple, a follower of Jesus. As a matter of fact, according to the record, he did everything to hide that fact. He was what we would call a secret disciple. We have a lot of those today. They know Christ, but they don't want anybody to know about it. Certainly their boss, where they work, or some of you that go to school, you know, we don't want to really come out and take our stand for the Lord. Some of you would never dare to take your Bible to high school because of what people might say. And yet Jesus said, you know, don't be ashamed of me. Let the world know. Well, there was a time in Joseph's life when he was a little more afraid to be known. But now it's different. He wanted his relationship to Jesus Christ to be known by everybody. He wanted everybody to know his attachment to Christ. So he comes out of the closet and he lets his faith be known to all people. And imagine he went right up to Pilate. Now the question arises, where were the other disciples that followed Jesus outwardly during his life? All but Judas. Where were they? Certainly they were the intimate ones. Should not they have taken the initiative and make the necessary arrangements for the burial of their master? And yet they were nowhere to be found. They were cowardly, while Joseph was courageous. They fled while he followed. He alone ran the risk. He exposed himself to the unrestrained violence and uncontrolled frenzy of the Antichrist crowd. He dared to be brave when all of the other disciples were timid. Now, when I was doing this little study, what about you and I? How do we stand up when it comes to being courageous for Jesus Christ and let the chips fall where they may? I say to you, there comes a time in a man's life when concealed faith in God must be revealed for what it really is. Sometimes we've got to speak up and let people know where we stand. God be praised for the faith of Joseph. It had real depth to it. It stood the test. Andrew Jackson, the 7th president of these United States, declared, "One man with courage makes a majority." One man with courage. I just finished a new sermon in the Old Testament on Gideon. And I called it "The Might of the Faithful Few." You know, it's not always the majority what God can do with a faithful minority who are willing totally to put their trust in Him. So here was a disciple, secret. But when the time came that he really needed to be counted upon, here Joseph of Arimathea comes right to the forefront. And he had a courage that cannot be denied. Now, what about our courage? Where we live and where we work and where we go to school and where we serve the Lord, does it measure up to that which so characterized this man, Joseph? Well, if it doesn't, it should. And let me add, it can. All you have to do in me is surrender our lives to Christ totally, and He will give us the courage. That's why He gave, one of the reasons He gave, the Holy Spirit. What do we do with Acts chapter 1, verse 8? "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and then to the uttermost part of the earth." That's why we have the Spirit. I don't think there's a reason why any Christian should not be a witness. Now, I'm not saying there are some Christians who have been given the gift of evangelism, personal evangelism. I know some Christians that could witness to somebody out in the desert. They'll find somebody because they're always seeking a soul for the Savior. But you don't have to go to college. You don't have to take a course. All you and I need to do is exactly what Jesus told the Samaritan woman to do. Go back and tell people what I have done for you. That's all. That's our witness. Joseph had a courage that cannot be denied. But then secondly, Joseph not only had a courage that cannot be denied, but Joseph had a love that could not be diminished. Now we read of this in the words of verse 58, there in the context. He went to Pilate and he begged the body of Jesus. He didn't just ask, he begged. One translator renders it this way: he went in boldly unto Pilate and craved for the body of Jesus. The same inward love he had for the living Christ is now openly declared for the Christ who was put to death. Of all the disciples, except Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, they came to get the body of Jesus. Now, upon hearing about the crucifixion and the death of Jesus, Joseph now, in adoring love, comes to take down the body of Christ and claim it for honorable burial. And I want you to note that he did something that no other person did except Nicodemus. He cared for and he dared to do what many of us probably wouldn't do. Do you know what it meant to be associated, a follower of Jesus? If they found out that they were going to be persecuted, that's why they fled. And he dared the impossible. Right out so everyone could know. While others had turned their backs on Jesus because he had disappointed them, he had broken their hearts, he had shattered their dreams, the love of Joseph went to the limit. It performed what was difficult to do. He took the body of Jesus, of one he loved so much, down from that cruel cross, and he prepared it for burial. Now, I tell you tonight, it takes love to do such a thing as that. And yet that was the task that was divinely assigned to Joseph of Arimathea. He fulfilled it thrillingly. What about us? Let me ask you a personal question tonight. And I ask myself. I never ask you a question without first of all asking myself. Has our love for Jesus Christ continued to grow and glow with the passing of years? Think about that. One day, the Bible says, the heavenly bridegroom is coming back to get his bride. And there's going to be a wonderful wedding. And we're going to go on a honeymoon. What do you think the bridegroom's going to think when he comes back to get the bride? And the bride are those who are Christians who have been part of the body of Christ from all generations since Pentecost. And he finds out that the bride has given their love to another. I wonder what the bridegroom's going to think. Remember what Jesus said? If any man is not willing to hate his father, his mother, his sister, and his brother, he cannot and he will not be my disciple. And you've heard me preach on that before, and we know the meaning there. Hate means to love less than. Jesus said, you got to love your husband less than you love me. Jesus said, you got to love your wife less than you love me. Jesus said, you got to love your children less than you love me. And if you don't, you cannot and you will not be my disciple. I mean, he was asking for totality. And I want you to note, he was stubborn at that point. He didn't take a back seat. Has our love for Christ continued to grow larger and deeper throughout the years? Has that same love enabled us to fulfill those difficult jobs that Christ has called us to perform? Well, it should. Listen to this. Write this down. For remember, the depth of your love will determine the dedication of your labor for Jesus Christ. And even your giving. The depth of your love will determine your dedication to the work of the cause of Christ. The depth of our love. So here was a, you don't hear too much about Joseph of Arimathea at Easter. Many pastors just bypass him over. We don't think too much about him. But my friend, I want to tell you, we can bring him to the forefront this Easter. And we found out so far that Joseph not only had a courage that cannot be denied, but he had a love that cannot and was not diminished. And then one thing more. He had a sacrificial spirit that cannot be doubted. Now Matthew tells us what Joseph did. Notice the words of verses 59 and 60. But when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. You know, in New Testament times, it was a disgrace for a man not to have a burial place for himself. And Joseph, being a very conscientious man, he had already made preparation for his own burial. He had done everything that was needed. But now, in a spirit of complete sacrifice, the utter abandonment of himself to his master, notice now, he was willing to give over his own burial place to put the body of Christ in a new tomb. And that had never been used before. It was unused. He gave up what really belonged to him to the one that I spoke about this morning, who is the owner of all things. Now, it seems to me that no doubt Joseph of Arimathea had the same philosophy of ownership as the two men who owned the donkeys. I mean, it was his burial place. But in reality, it was designed for Jesus Christ. That was where he was going to be buried. Now, Joseph could have acted differently. He didn't have to surrender to Jesus. He could have permitted the body of Jesus to be buried in the potter's field, along with all of the other criminals and outcasts. But he didn't. And because he didn't, that's why we're preaching on him tonight. And as long as we celebrate Good Friday, and as long as we commemorate Easter Sunday, you're always going to hear of Joseph of Arimathea. Why? Well, because of the three characteristics that I gave you tonight. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if you and I, if these characteristics would characterize our lives? Wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if we would begin to exhibit these three characteristics, these three traits? May we, in closing, have a courage to stand for Christ. I would cover that for each and every one of us. Let the chips fall where they may. Just take your stand for Jesus Christ. The courage to stand for Christ. In the office, in the school, where you work, where you live. Just stand up for Jesus Christ and let it be known that you are a follower of Christ. At last, he was willing to do that. And a love to offer Christ. That would be wonderful. And a sacrificial spirit to give to Christ. And then let's add to that an obedience that we heard about this morning that will enable us to follow Christ. Okay? I close with this. This is very simple. And don't forget Joseph, because he's long going to be remembered. Shall we pray?